Hi, I'm Jeff Goldblum.
Interesting, complicated, you know, character.
To Love You Jeff, a Jeff Goldblum appreciation podcast, where a friend and I watched a Jeff Goldblum movie and rated on a 10 out of 10 Goldblum scale. This week's film is The Mountain. Joining me this week is a person that goes by the name Mr. M. His identity cannot be revealed because he is under the Madea Witness Protection Program. We didn't have to store his voice because we don't have a budget, so please help me welcome Mr. M.
It's worth the risk. Thanks for having me.
And just, you know, not to throw you off or anything or start conspiracy theories, he is not the whistleblower. He is not. Actually, I cannot confirm or deny that. So, no, actually, he is not the whistleblower. If you follow politics, you'll get that joke.
I can whistle, though.
Please don't. Not on the air.
I know.
So thanks for watching the film with me.
Yeah, it was, well, I'd like to say that you know, it was an enjoyable experience, other than the fact that, you know, I was watching this movie. to be honest, I felt anxious the entire time we were watching it, because I know that you love all things Goldblum.
Yes, I do. That's why there's a podcast called Love You, Jeff.
Yeah, and I just didn't know how to tell you that this movie sucked donkey balls.
You know what? Let's take our time, because that is the end of the show where we rate it.
Okay.
So The Mountain is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes with a 68% rating. It was a limited release that came out in July 2019. So before we get our thoughts on the film, even though I think I know where this is going, but it'll be interesting, don't tell me yet. Let's go over the plot. Per Wikipedia, The Mountain is a drama film directed by Rick Alverson from screenplay The Alverson, Dustin Guy, DeFacts, Poem O'Leary. It stars Ty Sheridan, Dennis Levant, Hannah Gross, Udo Kler, and Jeff Goldblum. I know I butchered a lot of these names, but English is my second language, so there we go. The script is loosely based on the story of controversial physician Walter Freeman. So that means that there was a doctor that did some of this. So here's the premise. In the 1950s, a young introvert Andy, and that's played by Sheridan, works at his father's Frederick's, that's Claire, ice rink following the institute. She got institutionalized, there we go. Lobotomized and presumed dead for a while. So after Frederick has a heart attack and dies, that is Andy's father, big spoiler, Andy encounters family friend Dr. Wallace, the man responsible for his mother's lobotomization. He invites Andy to travel with him, having Andy act as his photographer, journalist, and assistant. Now, first thoughts on the film, because I think you gave...
Yeah, I kind of jumped the gun there. So I just want to paint a picture for your listeners. Imagine a world where a drunk, womanizing lobotomist, played by Jeff Goldblum, is the most natural and relatable person on the screen. You mentioned that this got a 68 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which is technically fresh.
It is technically fresh, which I was surprised by. I would have to give 67 of those tomatoes to Jeff Goldblum, because he was by far the most... pretty much the only redeeming part of
He's
this
the
movie.
Only watchable one. Every other scene. Okay, so here's the thing. The opening shot is interesting because it's like an overhead shot of rotating figure skaters. Oh, she's all regal. And then we soon find out that Andy works at an ice skating rink, polishing the ice rink. Which is like, okay, so what? Okay, so maybe the figure skater is showing,
well,
introducing it.
That first shot just... as soon as I saw that and you had that creepy, you know, narration going on, I was like, oh man, buckle up. This is going to be an artsy movie.
That's what I thought too. I was like, we're going to have all these weird pauses, which there were, and just a lot of imagery, which, you know, to defend it, it did.
Yeah. I feel like this movie was trying to set a world record for a number of fixed still shots. I don't know what the technical term of it is, but... you know, pretty much every scene was just
a tight shot.
A tight shot on one thing. And as soon as you were like, what is going on? Time for the next scene.
And usually it was followed by some sort of pouting or being super emo and sitting down on the bed with the hands over the face. It was just, or just cutting to the guy just standing against a wall. Like, that was a lot of it. Standing against the wall, sitting around in a psych ward.
So, can we take a second to talk about the porn room?
Yes.
Okay. So, I thought I was reading way too much into this, but there's a scene in the beginning before Jeff Goldblum shows up, which you can probably fast forward through. And Andy, I think that's his name,
yeah.
Andy walks into this room full of photographs of naked women. It's not clear if he's the one who took them, or if he just collected them, or every ice rink in the 50s just had a porn room. It's, you don't know. But towards the end of that scene, there's this tight shot on a picture. And at the time, I thought it was a picture of a hermaphrodite. And I was thinking, oh man, is that somehow relevant to, you know, to the story? And then I was like, wait, this is an artsy movie. There's no way that that's relevant. It's just a tight shot on a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put a pin in that for later on.
Okay, and here's the thing. Speaking of that whole skating thing, one thing I did notice was that the skaters, wow, their skirts were long. They were past the knees. And I was like, how can you skate in this? And they were high-waisted and then super long. And I'm thinking about, wow, has that art form changed? Because at this point, everyone skates in a leotard or with a tiny, tiny skirt that you can see their reproductive organs once they do a triple toe loop or something like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't seem like those skirts deterred his gross-ass dad, who I guess was like a figure skater.
Yes, he was.
Coach or former?
He was a former figure skater and now he was a coach.
Yeah. So that kind of opens up the movie a little bit where I think Andy kind of walks in. And at the time, I didn't know it was his dad.
No, not at all. I just think he's the coach and he's just polishing the ice.
Yeah. You kind of figure things out about this movie 20 minutes after you've already seen something. So he kind of walked in on his dad getting, I guess, fresh with one of, you know, his
skaters.
Yeah,
a student. So because there were figure skaters, it was hard to tell their age really because of the 50s hairstyles and probably the makeup. But I figure when you're a figure skater, usually you start like at age 6 or 7 or something like that. And basically your career is almost over when you're in your 30s. So I'm assuming these girls were at least in their early 20s. And he was just like...
Yeah, it was definitely inappropriate. I think it's the takeaway there. Yeah. So, again, I think to tie it all up, before Jeff Goldblum shows up, the two things that I learned from this intro is that our main character is sort of a creepy dude who doesn't really talk a lot, and this movie just loves its tight, still shots.
Yeah. And so, speaking to that, I was almost wanting to look at my watch, except that my Apple Watch was dead. But I kept looking at my wrist, nonetheless, because I was like, when does Jeff Goldblum enter
yes.
this film? I need to see him now. So then after Andy's dad dies, you see him like at a garage sale. I guess he's trying to get rid of his dad's stuff. And then Wally, you know, which is how he prefers to be called, and that's Jeff Goldblum, enters the screen. His voice, I noticed, was very different. It was not really recognizable. Like, it wasn't, like, the Goldblum cadence, the one we've grown to love.
Yeah. It was, you know, like I said, his acting in this was quite impressive. He really brought Wally to life, I thought. You know, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I kind of like the touch where when Wally got drunk, he kind of acted like Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah,
like Jeff Goldblum
did.
Was his drunk personality, so yeah, it was actually quite good and quite entertaining on his part. Kind of, can I go back to like his Andy's dad dying?
Yeah.
So that scene opens up. So before that, Andy sort of talks to his dad about this dream he had, which may have been a projection of him walking in on his dad, and his dad basically says, "You know, I thought you'd never stop growing, And now you're like your mother. And we don't know what that's about. Like, what?
We haven't seen his mother. We're not really sure what she is. I thought she was dead or that she left the father. It was very ominous.
There's no clue. All we know is that his dad is an even bigger prick than Andy is. So then, right after that, it cuts to this girl just calmly watching a dude be carried away on a gurney.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, we find out that that dead guy was Andy's dad, just, like, casually. And Andy's just sort of standing there selling all of his stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that just struck me how there's no exposition at all.
Yeah, and the sets were pretty minimal. It was either all these pictures or, I mean, all these scenes of them either in a bedroom or hallways leaning against the wall from a psychiatric ward. Like, it wasn't really like a big set where they were in different places.
Yeah.
These were the main places they were at in the skating rink. So it was like maybe four or five things where they were.
Yeah, so Jeff Goldblum shows up. And
basically
his pitch to Andy is, hey, I was your mom's doctor, and I may or may not have killed her. Want to go on a road trip with me and take pictures?
Actually, let me correct you on that. He just said he was a family friend, and he never said the whole thing. So it's not until he's pretty much taking pictures of what he's doing as kind of that he discovers that he
does
lobotomies.
Yeah.
Which is even creepier.
Yeah, you could tell there's a point where Andy has this look on his face where he's just like, man, I should have stayed in the porn room. This was
And the thing that was so disturbing, there were a couple of images that he shows like in a projector, because he does say, I love, you know, images or photographs or whatever. And then you're thinking, oh, that's why Andy's with him, so he could like chronicle his adventures. And then you see that they're doing a lobotomy. And it's so scary. It almost looks like an exorcism, because it's like they're tying the person down, they put this thing on their heads, and then it's like a needle going to the eyes. Like, it's just, and the person is twitching. It's hard to watch.
It's rough. I couldn't help but wonder if Jeff Goldblum actually gets paid to do these things, or he just sells those pictures in Times Square later, and that's how he funds things.
No, because he's actually, we later find out, performing these procedures, and you see it, and you're like, oh, okay, so these are pictures of patients rather than him just collecting random women getting their eyes poked.
We don't ever see what happens with those pictures, so.
We never do, and we never, other than you cutting to, like, the other protagonist sitting, looking dead in the eyes, literally, and just kind of not speaking and very still, you're like, oh, so this is what happens. And at some point, Wally says, like, it takes them a while to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's just the way she was sitting was disturbing, because it was like she was there but not there.
I think this movie was summed up pretty well. This happens a lot, but when after Andy kind of witnesses all this for the first time, he asks, you know, Jeff Goldblum, is that what you did to my mother? I think that's what you were alluding to. And pretty much whenever this kid asks a question, it's time to go to the next scene without
There's no answer.
And the next scene is the two of them still traveling together in the mountains. So whatever Jeff Goldblum said to him, I guess he was okay with, like, yeah, I did that to your mother, or no, I didn't, or, you know.
Yeah, and then I was like, the mountain, why is it called that? Because there are some overhead shots of them driving, so that's another little scene, or like another little set when they're outdoors. But other than that, not really much. And then you can see the snow and kind of like the mountain. And then there's also like a crazy moment in the girl's house. What is it? The weird French guy?
Yeah, but before that,
but I'm saying there was like a picture of the mountain. So I'm thinking, oh, that's why it's called a mountain.
Yeah, I think the mountain, I actually wrote this down because I was thinking the same thing. The mountain first appears after his dad dies.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of those tight pictures on a painting of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was his dad's. again, there's no explanation of why mountains are significant.
No. And I kept wondering, like, why is it called the mountain? Does he lobotomize people and the mountain throws ice on her face? Like, I didn't know what to think. This film was all over the place. So much ominous music and just people standing around not saying anything. There's this point where Jeff Goldblum, which I love, of course, he's just standing there thinking. And it's just silent. And I'm like, this looks like a Jeff Goldblum bit or something. He's just, like, standing there. And the music is like, you're like, what is going on?
It's pretty much 2 hours of asking what is going on
without
that question ever being answered.
So this is what the critics thought. Basically, other than it being fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, here's another review that was featured actually in Rotten Tomatoes, and it says, "The Mountain finds its provocative director further honing his craft. But former flair and engrossing Jeff Goldblum's performance may not be enough to sway the unconverted." So basically, he is saying that if you aren't a Bloomie, you wouldn't care for this film.
I agree with that, yes. And honing his craft, that I want to see what
the director,
what the first movie he made was. Like, maybe he made that and he was like, boy, I need Jeff Goldblum in this because no one is paying to see my movies.
Yeah. So, with that, how many Goldblums would you give it? Remember, it's a scale, 10 out of 10 Goldblums.
Well, I don't want to disrespect the Bloom. I give Jeff Goldblum's performance a 9 out of 10 Goldblums.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he really took a pile of shit and made it into, like, a sculpture of David. You know, he did the best he could with what he was given.
Yeah, I agree.
The film overall, you know, I had fun shitting on this movie with you, so I'll give it 2 out of 10 Goldblums.
Oh, wow. How candid. I think that is the lowest score we've had so far. So this is the thing. I've been called, and I admit it, I'll take that title any day, that I am a Jeff Goldblum apologist. And I will always keep the Bloom in my heart and always advocate for the Bloom. So with that said, the film itself, wow, I'm going to give it 3 out of 10 Goldblums just because those 3 stars are Jeff Goldblum, because I don't want to see too biased, but if it was up to me, Jeff Goldblum will always be a 10 out of 10. But film-wise, he didn't do much. I did enjoy the partial just him staring adrift. But the
He really smoked the shit out of those pipes.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that.
But the film, I'm not rating it solely on Jeff Goldblum for him being there. But the film itself, it just makes absolutely no sense. And I've been the type of person that would go to artsy films and be like, oh, and if I didn't enjoy it or find something redeeming about it, I'm like, you know, this is too artsy, I don't get it. But let me rewatch it because it was a great film. It's just that I didn't get it. Like, I always used to do that. And now I'm like, if this doesn't make sense to me, this is a piece of shit. And if it doesn't make me want to go back to see why it didn't make sense to me, to see if I could piece things together, then no.
Yeah, I think there was one review that summed it up well. This was basically as if someone made an art house movie to make fun of art house movies.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are our thoughts on The Mountain. And Jeff, I know that you're listening, or you will at some point, maybe when this podcast is 500, you know, episodes in, because you do... Now you have a television show, The World According to Jeff Goldblum, that's going to be on Disney Plus. You made me subscribe to Disney Plus. Someone who owns every Disney movie, but just because it's our original show. The love runs deep. Anyway, I don't want to scare you. I am normal. I've been around you, and I did not do anything crazy. So, with that said, our sign-off, which I figured out a few episodes ago, is, first of all, let me say goodbye to Mr. M. Thank you for exposing yourself in a sense.
My pleasure.
And until next time, love you, Jeff.